Hi, I'm Dave DeWitt, and today I'd like to say a few words about salvation as discussed in Hebrews 6, 4-6 and 10:26. These are probably the two most difficult passages to understand if you hold, as I do, to the security of salvation. So first, let's look at Hebrews 6, 4-6. It reads, "For in the case of those who have been enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift, and have been partakers of the Holy Spirit, and have tasted of the good word of God, and the power of the age to come, and then have fallen away, it's impossible to renew them again to repentance, since they again crucified themselves the Son of God, and put him to open shame." There are three interpretations given to this passage. Interpretation number one says it's about losing salvation. The problem with this interpretation is that it violates the basic reasons for security given throughout the Bible. Salvation is called eternal life. Salvation comes from predestination and the sovereignty of God. Salvation is recorded in the book of life. Salvation is always based on faith, judgments based on works. Also, if the phrase, "it's impossible to renew them to repentance," is about losing salvation, then those who have fallen away could never be saved again. The repentance assumes the possibility of belief. For example, the prodigal son was allowed to return. If fallen away is losing salvation, this would say that those who have sinned could not repent, and those who have stopped believing could not believe again. Interpretation number two says it's about unbelievers who were never saved. Now, the biggest problem with this interpretation is that Hebrews 6, 4-6 goes beyond any description of an unbeliever. Unbelievers cannot obtain those things by living in community with believers. And if they were never saved, what would be the point of saying that it's impossible to renew those who have fallen away? What did they fall away from? And what are they being renewed to? Interpretation 3 says it's a warning for believers to not lose assurance of their salvation. This seems to be the best interpretation because, number one, the five characteristics of Hebrews 6, 4-6 describe a true believer. Two, falling away is the loss of assurance of salvation after sinning, resulting in believers not entering God's rest as it's described in Hebrews 3 and 4. And three, impossible to renew means it's impossible to turn back the clock and deal with the problem by getting saved all over again. Sinning Christians must confess their sins and press on to maturity, not keep getting saved, renewed to repentance all over again. This seems to be the best view because it fits the context of the book and it's the subject of assurance and best explains the four issues emphasized in the text. Also notice that in Hebrews 6, 1, the author warns against laying again a foundation of repentance. Ryrie in his study Bible gives this example. It's similar to saying something like this to a class of students. It is impossible for a student, once enrolled in this course, if he turns the clock back, which cannot be done, to start the course all over again. Now let's look at Hebrews 10, 26 and 27. It says, "For if we go on willfully sinning after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sin, but a terrifying expectation of judgment and the fury of fire which will consume the adversaries." There are four interpretations given to this passage. Interpretation one, it's about losing your salvation. Again, the biggest problem with this view is that in Hebrews 6, salvation is called eternal life. Salvation is predetermined. Salvation is being recorded in God's book of life, and salvation is about faith, judgment's about works. Also, here in Hebrews 10:14, The author says, "For by one offering he has perfected for all times those who are sanctified." Interpretation number two says it's about unbelievers who were never saved. There are two big problems with this view. First, we, that is plural, who go on sinning willfully are those who have received the knowledge of the truth. In the case of those who receive the knowledge of the truth are those who stimulate one another to love and good deeds, and those who are not forsaken, forsaking our own assembly together. Our own, who has received the knowledge of the truth, does not sound like unbelievers. Received, the same word for receiving, is the basis for being a child of God in John 1:12. And second, the phrase, "there no longer remains a sacrifice for sin," cannot possibly refer to Christ's death, since as a sacrifice for sin, Christ's sacrifice for sin is not nullified by someone willfully sinning. The author says the sacrifice in question no longer remains, but Christ's sacrifice remains, his death for sin paid for all sin of all time, not just the sin committed before someone goes on sinning willfully. Interpretation number three. It's a warning for believers to not lose their assurance of their salvation. This view fits the subject of the book of Hebrews, assurance of our salvation. But the phrase, "there no longer remains a sacrifice for sin," sounds like the sacrifice itself no longer remains. Interpretation number four. It's a warning against using temple sacrifices to resolve sin. This is the view I prefer. It says the phrase, "there no longer remains a sacrifice for sin," means there no longer remains an animal sacrifice or grain offering or other Levitical sacrifice of the Mosaic law for sin. You cannot just go on sinning and expect to cover it with an animal sacrifice at the temple, because that older sacrifice no longer remains. The phrase, "a terrifying expectation of judgment," focuses on the theoretical judgment of the believer who has nothing to cover his sin since he's ignored Christ's sacrifice and depends on an animal sacrifice which no longer remains. This view seems preferable because it has the advantage of being consistent with the author's warnings throughout the book about going back to the Mosaic law and mixing it with Christianity. It also allows a literal interpretation of the phrase, "there no longer remains a sacrifice for sin," and it seems to fit well with the context following verses 26 and 27. So my conclusion is that Hebrews 6 says a believer cannot treat his sin by thinking, "I'll just turn back the clock and get saved all over again." And Hebrews 10 says you cannot go back for an animal sacrifice for sin because there no longer remains an animal sacrifice for sin. Thank you for listening. A longer paper on this subject with footnotes for the quotes is available on our website, relationalconcepts.org.